Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Greg Howard. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, right here on EuroFolkRadio.com. And tonight we're going to institute, although we've tried this in the past, and if anybody's listening and wants to call in, the call-in number is 312-957-6104. I'll repeat that, 312-957-6104. This is the number assigned to my Skype account. We'll also be putting out a telephone number for Eurofolk Radio that you can call into any live show using that number, but Paul is still working with that. So as for tonight, though, you can call this number on Skype, again, 312-957-6104. All right, Pastor Howard, how are you doing tonight?
Excellent, brother. Praise Yahweh. Glad to be here.
Okay, I was just looking through the Apocalypse of Baruch, and that's the Hebrew pronunciation, right? Baruch, okay? It's not Baruch. Baruch, okay? And
I don't feel bad pronouncing it in our own current language, you know? I don't feel I have to absolutely, you know, reproduce how they pronounced it 5,000 years ago. Yeah. I think Baruch would understand.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Actually, in Irish, it's Baruch, right? So our languages still retain a lot of Hebrew. But looking through the, what do you call it, the vision of the 12 streams, it looks to me like it starts in chapter 24. And I don't know if that's where you were planning on starting. But that looks like a logical place to start for this particular vision. But if you wanted to start someplace earlier, you know, just
well, you know, brother, I've been going back and forth. I mean, the book of Baruch, the Apocalypse of Baruch in particular, is to me one of the most profound books of Scripture ever written. And it's we all have to cast off our little funny thoughts that when we open the Bible, we do not see the Apocalypse of Baruch included in that book. Nor do we see the book of Enoch, nor do we see the second book of Ezra. Nor do we see Jubilees, nor do we see Jasher. Yet all of those books are referenced in the Bible.
That's right.
Or those writers are. And we come to realize that Yahweh purposely kept several books out of our so-called Bible. And believe me, I'm not putting the Bible down. Not in any way whatsoever. Because these books truly are part of the scriptural account. But for providential reasons, in particular related to our race, they were kept out of the 66-book Bible that we have, that we've all carried for many years, that we still cherish, and, you know, we would not want to do without it. But we realize there were other books that were written that were kept out of that record, that were preserved for us in these final days, that were put there to nourish us, enlighten us, to give us strength to endure what is coming up. And these are books that address the most forbidden topic of all time.
Race.
And that is the topic of race. Very good, Eli. I knew you'd get that one right, brother.
Right.
That is the most forbidden topic in the Christian world, the so-called Christian world,
the
topic of race. And these books address race so specifically that it cannot be missed, it cannot be mistranslated. And the Apocalypse of Baruch gives a specific vision that covers from the Garden of Eden and the seduction of Eve and the fallen angels to the end of this age. And it breaks it down by race. And it's the most incredible vision of prophecy I have ever read. I think it rivals anything that John in the book of Revelation wrote. And I believe it was kept out of the Bible specifically because it would have shown the light on the Jews and their using of the other races to attack us. It lays it all out so clearly it cannot be missed.
Yes, yes.
You know,
by the way, I've been doing some research on the Apocrypha in general because a lot of people ascribe these other books, these apocryphal books, to the Jews. And as a matter of fact, the Jews don't claim them. That's just a false, you know, because people assume that the Old Testament was written by Jews, so therefore the intertestamental works were written by Jews, and neither one of those is true. these are Israelite literature. Pure and simple.
Absolutely.
Okay? It's Israelite literature. Right. Yeah.
I mean, the Jews have perpetuated in the last, let's say in the last 200 years, they have created this lie that they are the people of the Old Testament. I mean, that's one of the greatest lies that's ever been on the planet. It would definitely be my top one or two lies of all time.
Right?
I mean, the Jews are a satanic seed line traceable back through fallen angel, seduction of Eve. Cain was born. An evil seed line was put on the earth. Genesis 3:15 lays it out so clear. And yet somehow the Jews have hoodwinked the world in the last 150, 180 years, 200 years, that they are the ancient Israelites. And now we see the power of controlling information, controlling education, controlling media, controlling book publishing within a generation of repeating a lie over and over and over again from multiple angles. An entire generation of our unfortunately easily beguiled race can be hoodwinked.
Yes.
And we have been for the most part.
Yeah.
And praise Yahweh for Christian identity that actually sees through the fog and smoke of Jewish perfidy and lies. We actually see the truth, and we are the bright light to our people on the earth today.
Right, right. I'm working on an article entitled "The Yahweh Solar Calendar Part 3. And there's a section called "Are the Apocrypha Jewish Literature?" So there's this one quote here that I want to stress to everybody. Many Judeo-Christians falsely attribute apocryphal literature to the Jews. We in Identity have always asserted that, to the contrary, apocryphal literature is of Israelite origin, not Jewish origin. Rabbi Louis Finkelstein confirms our point of view concerning the Book of Jubilees. He states, quote, "The book is not of Pharisaic or Sadducean origin. The former is impossible, that is, it's impossible to be a Pharisaic work, as has been shown by Schechter, because the writer has his own views on the calendar and regarding many laws of prime importance to the Pharisees. Of course, the Jews go by their lunar solar calendar, which the Israelites did not. No Pharisee would ever agree to counting the Omer, 49 days separating the Passover from the Feast of Weeks, from the last day of the festival. Nor would any Pharisee have agreed to fixation of the calendar otherwise than by the monthly examination of the new moon. So because many of these apocryphal books do not agree with the Jewish lunar solar calendar, they simply reject the whole book." Right? So here's we'll have nothing to do with this book of Jubilees. Okay? It's not Jewish literature.
Yeah.
Okay? It's our literature.
Brother, we live in the age of deception and lies, and the Jews are the masters of liars. And what a time to be alive. Yeah, would you choose any other time to be alive than right now?
What a time to be a liar. The liars,
we may well see the end of this age. I believe that we will. I believe it is upon us. And I believe that Christian identity is the point of the spear that will bring this age to an end and will cast the satanic seed line Jews into the lake of fire, literally. We will pick them up and cast them into the fire. I believe that we will do that.
Yes.
I live for that moment.
Yeah.
It drives me insane to live in this current world, yet I thank Yahweh that I have the privilege to be alive right now.
Yep, there's plenty and of kerosene.
When I look at this book, The Apocalypse of Baruch, and, you know, I meant to get online a little earlier and find a link to a nice PDF version of this, and I didn't get around to it. I had to clean my cat's box. It was screaming to be clean. That's a poor excuse, but if I don't, it's messy, and anybody that has cats will understand. If somebody could do a quick internet search of The Apocalypse of Baruch and the translation by R.H. Charles, and that's the one that we want to use, and could throw that into the chat room on Eurofolk Radio, I would appreciate it. And you can grab a quick copy of it free online. I do suggest buying a hard copy of it. Destiny Publishers has a nice hard copy book. I think it's $10. That's the one I sent you, Eli. It's just, you know, I like certain books. I just want a hard copy.
Yeah.
I want to be able to just pick it up and write in my notes and my cross references.
Right.
And I'm an old school guy. I like a book on my shelf.
Right.
And The Apocalypse of Baruch is it's worth having a copy of.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so this maybe just give people a quick overview of the 12 streams. And like I said, to me, it looks like the natural place to start is chapter 24. Which, and by the way, this has numerous notes, explanatory notes, which are really valuable. But you know, we won't go through all the notes because there's actually maybe 3/4 of the book is the notes, right?
Well, so, one thing we have to remember on the R.H. Charles notes, from a linguistic point of view, he was a master of language.
Okay.
And he was a mid to late 1800s, British linguist. Who was translated many books. The best copy of Enoch we have today was translated by R.H. Charles, Jubilees, Apocalypse of Baruch. He was a master of the language. But unfortunately, the theological notes that he includes in his book can 99% of the time be completely ignored. And we realize, as a guy that lived back in the late 1800s, that did not understand that the white race were the true Israelites and that the Jews were indeed the satanic seed line on the earth. So if you don't understand that, you can imagine that his theological understanding of much of this was totally flawed. And I tip my hat to this man because he had not lived yet through Jewry's infiltration of the United States in the early 1900s. He did not see the damage they inflicted with, the Federal Reserve Act. He did not live through World War I and World War II. So he doesn't have the advantage that we have historically looking back to see the work of Jewry in the last century.
Right.
He was looking forward. We're looking back. So I will never pick on the man. I probably wouldn't have seen what he saw.
Right.
And so, but the point is his... when I read through his exhaustive study of Enoch, I basically don't even pay any attention whatsoever to his interpretive notes on various verses because I see 10 times more than him only because I'm alive 150 years later.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm that much smarter than him. I've just been around longer, and I have the advantage of seeing history that he never saw. He never saw the big rise of Jewry in the last generation or two on the earth.
Right.
So he didn't grasp the satanic seed line's rise in the final days as we've been able to see it.
Exactly.
But from a translative point of view, he is absolutely outstanding. And I don't know that a scholar of his level still exists today. He was that good.
Right.
So okay. I take my hat off to the man.
Right. Well, if you don't mind, I'll read the text and you just go ahead and comment as you feel necessary, okay?
And you're going to start at chapter 25, right?
Chapter 24. Because
24.
It leads up to 25 where actually the streams are first mentioned.
But we're also going to read a little bit more than that because the beginning of the vision is broken down. The actual vision itself kicks in at up around chapter 50.
Okay.
But the early kind of laying out of it, is where we are now. So, yeah, brother, go ahead and read.
So this looks like introductory material. And then when you feel satisfied with the introduction, then we can kick over to chapter 50.
But let me say one or two more things.
Okay.
We had approximated Baruch. By the way, Baruch was the scribe of the prophet Jeremiah.
Right.
Which dates him to the mid to late 500 to 575 B.C., right around that time. So this is the era, and this Baruch was mentioned 2 times in the Bible, both times in the book of Jeremiah.
Okay.
So there is a historical basis for Baruch, and he was the companion and scribe of the prophet Jeremiah.
Yeah, accompanied him to Ireland.
Yeah, other than that, nothing more is mentioned of him in the Bible itself.
Right.
And yet, as we read his writings, we realize he also is a prophet of Yahweh. Only his books were, for whatever reason,
forgotten.
Not included in the Bible, and we should be thankful for that. These are hidden writings specifically saved for Yahweh's race in the final days.
Yeah, let me elaborate on your point just now, because people who haven't heard us discussing the Apocrypha in the past, the fact is that it's actually a good thing that the Jews and Judeo-Christians haven't gotten their grubby little hands.
Amen, brother.
On these Apocrypha.
Because they would have ruined it.
Oh, it would have absolutely ruined it. Because the racial exclusive language contained in the Apocrypha has not been watered down like it is in the Bible, thanks to the Jews and Judeo-Christians.
That's right. Okay? Exactly right. We are looking at a translation from R.H. Charles. This translation of Baruch was probably done in the late 1800s, and the Jews to this day have not had a chance to adulterate it, to destroy the manuscripts, to mistranslate it, and to ruin the pure racial message in this book. And I will absolutely lay myself out here and say this book, The Apocalypse of Baruch, is as scriptural as any book in the Bible.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
As was Ezra that we went over, the second book of Ezra, as was Enoch. These books are written, these are Yahweh-breathed out books.
For Israelites,
100%. So we're not just sitting here spinning our wheels studying some odd historical book.
Yeah.
We are studying scripture here.
Yeah, people will find out as we're reading through here, this is prophecy for Israel, and it makes a clear distinction between the white race and the non-white races. Very obvious. Okay. All right. Chapter 24. For behold, the days come and the books will be opened in which are written the sins of all those who have sinned, and again also the treasuries in which the righteousness of all those who have been righteous in creation is gathered. For it will come to pass at that time that thou shalt see, and many that are with thee, the long-suffering of the Most High, which has been throughout all generations, who has been long-suffering towards all those born that sin and are righteous. Okay, so right here I would say, those who have born or endured sin and are righteous, which suggests that we're the victims of sin. Not that we don't sin ourselves, but there's people who make a habit of sinning and victimizing others. And so that's who this book is being addressed to, or at least these verses being addressed to, your comment here.
Well, brother, this book is written to a particular race. And as we go on and really dig into the big revelation, actually, as I remember, we almost spent a full year going through this book.
Right.
And as we were revisiting this book, I just had the thought to get into the top revelation. There's actually a bunch of great revelations and prophecies in here. But Baruch had what I would call a central revelation, where he gave a revelation from the creation of our race in the Garden of Eden and the fall of our race to the end of the age. And that was the revelation of the 12 bright and dark waters. And we spent 2 or 3 months just on those chapters.
Right.
And I began to realize as we were going through it that it was the most racial scripture that I had ever read, ever, because it broke down into the white race versus all the other races arrayed against us. And the battle that would go on from the garden to the end of the age. And Baruch laid it out in perfectly clear, symbolic, yet easily understandable language for our point in time. If you came to it 200-300 years ago, as did R.H. Charles, you might not see it. But knowing what we know now and understanding how race is critical and how Yahweh has called out the white race to, we are the covenant race on the earth. And I love saying it. And Christian identity is spoken evilly of by everybody else without understanding, and it doesn't bother me in the least. In fact, I love it. It points me to the fact that we have found the truth, and we are the race of Yahweh's people. We are Yahweh's race on this planet, and our eternal destiny is to rule this world, and we will rule in the coming age. Right now, the Jews' foot is on our neck, but it's temporary. And you can see it weakening. It's a weak hold.
Right.
It's a weak hold. They got to be trembling right now.
Right. Yeah. It's all deception anyway. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's smoke and mirrors for them. And I think they're beginning to feel kind of like someone gave them a hot foot. Remember when you were a kid and you'd somebody would fall asleep and you stick a match between their toes and light it?
Right.
At least when I was a kid, we'd do that. I think that's what the Jews are feeling right now. They're getting a little hot foot, you know? Somebody, a Jew fell asleep and somebody put a match between his toes and lit it. And I think the Jews are beginning to feel that flame of fire kindling, because deep down they know they're a cursed satanic race and that they're never going to have what they think they want. And I think they know deep down in their wretched soul that they are destined for fire.
Yes, that's right.
And it's going to happen for them.
And it's going to be a great big barbecue. And there will be a Holocaust, right? There will be. Right?
They owe us one. You
that's
know,
right.
We've been hearing about it for so long. I think we're ready to cash that chip
already.
In. They owe us one.
And
I'm
so
still waiting for somebody to throw a link in the chat room.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I mean, I can
Pastor
find
Steve,
it.
Pastor Steve is looking for it. Okay, but let me continue here. And I answered and said, but behold, O Yahweh, no one knows the number of those things which have passed, nor yet of those things which are to come. For I know indeed that which has befallen us. But what will happen to our enemies, I know not. And when thou wilt visit thy works, and you don't want Yahweh to visit, right? Maranatha?
That's right.
Maranatha means Yahweh will visit, and it's not when he's happy. It's usually when he's angry. Maranatha, okay? Okay, chapter 25. And he answered and said unto me, thou too shalt be kept safely till that time, till that sign, which the Most High will work for the inhabitants of the earth in the end of days. This, therefore, will be the sign. Now, this is great. This is absolutely
okay,
great.
Okay, he's saying, here it is.
Yes,
here's the
is.
Sign. Here okay. we'll describe the people on the earth at the end of the age. Pay attention here.
Right. Okay, we just got over the stupor bowl, right? All right, here's the sign, folks. When a stupor shall seize the inhabitants of the earth, and they shall fall into many tribulations, and again when they shall fall into great torments. Are our people in a stupor or what?
Brother, I could not pick a more perfect word than the word stupor to describe our people. And, you know, praise Yahweh that there is a group of us that are not in the stupor. But to this day, you talk to your average white person, man or woman. I mean, stupor, just a drug-induced haze, whatever you want to define a stupor as. Our men are in a stupor. Our women are so stuporized that they're walking
right.
around dating Negroes and
right.
bearing young to Negroes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, your average white woman would, you know, sit down and spread her legs for a yeah. black to prove she's not a racist.
Yeah.
And our men are just so pathetic. It's unbelievable. Stupor is the sign, according to this vision.
Uh-huh.
A stupor shall seize the inhabitants of the
That's
earth.
That's right. And I would say this stupor clearly dates back to the Scofield Reference Bible when Christian Zionism was created, okay? But
mm-hmm.
it really kicked in the 60s with the advent of the televangelists creating, how should I put this, the gospel of personal salvation as opposed to the gospel of the kingdom. So between those two things, that's real stupor.
Yeah, Brother Herbert throws an excellent cross-reference in here from 2 Ezra. And by the way, that is one of the beauties of the hard copy of this Apocalypse of Baruch. Is remember, Eli, when we went through 2 Ezra, that in the back of this book of Baruch, R.H. Charles saw all these correlations between the Apocalypse of Baruch and 2 Ezra. And put in a specific concordance in the back
wow.
between the Apocalypse of Baruch and 2 Ezra.
Uh-huh.
And he's got like, I'm just glancing through it, 150 verses back here of exact parallels between this book of Baruch and the book of 2 Ezra. He calls it the book of 4 Ezra.
Right.
But there is verse after verse after verse that is an exact parallel between these two books. And this, the verse Brother Herbert puts in is from 2 Ezra chapter 13:29. It says, "Behold, the days are coming when the Most High will deliver those who are on the earth, and bewilderment of mind shall come over those who dwell on the earth."
Stuperment.
Saying essentially the exact same thing. Stupor equals bewilderment right. of mind. That's a very good parallel.
Right. I'm coming up with a new word, enstuperment. Our race yeah. is in a state of enstuperment and can't get out. It's otherwise known as the Jewish matrix of deceit.
Well, okay. yeah, I was just going to say, you know, this stupor didn't come out of nowhere. The Jews have created
That's right.
a stuporious environment. Maybe I just made up a
right.
word, brother.
You did.
I'm not trying to one-up you. But the Jews have created such an environment where between video games for the young people, you know, sports and Super Bowls and 50 other things and Hollywood movies for the rest of us, where our minds can literally become disengaged from serious thinking. And look, Brother Herbert, he's got to compete with us.
Yeah, right.
Libstuporo. Okay, I think he just whipped our butts.
Libstupertards. Libstupertards. There you go.
That's all right. We give him the win. That's a good word.
You get a demerit for that, Brother Herbert.
All right. That's a good word.
Okay. But here, let's continue here, and then you just tell me when you want to jump over to part 50. And the stupor,
I like the
agree.
Fact of reading through some of this because
yes,
it lays
the foundation.
A foundation for the spectacular vision
right.
that Baruch was given. And we will realize why this book was kept out of the scripture.
Oh, yeah.
The main reason was because Yahweh did not want it included. Thanks, Brother Steve, for putting that link in the chat room for the Apocalypse
okay,
of Baruch.
Okay.
There's a reason this book was kept out. This book was never designed to be for the masses. This book that we are going through is for the elect on the earth. No one else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's quite likely, Brother Greg, that only those of us in identity will even bother to read it.
That's right. Right. And it was only for us.
Yeah, right.
It was not meant for anyone else, really.
Yeah, yeah. And the Judeo-Christians are too enstupid to think. And of course, the Jews, I just read the passage where the Jews are not interested in the Apocrypha. They're interested in maintaining their fundamental rules of deceit, which, by the mm-hmm. way, are taking quite a bit of their time in recent days. Just to keep everybody enstupid. It has become a full-time job for just about every Jew on the earth, right? So it's becoming a full-time job, and the Jews don't like to work. But they're
no,
they're
brother. They
work.
Like to sit there and be the middleman and have checks come in.
Right.
That's what they yep. do, you know. They don't really do anything whatsoever apart from being a middleman,
right.
a wholesaler,
right.
or a retailer.
A pencil pusher.
I mean,
right.
They're the most pathetic parasite this planet has ever seen.
That's about as hard as any Jew ever works, is pushing a pencil. So let me continue here, and it will.
You're going to if you would read verse 4. Verse 4
yes.
is kind of the mental state of Judeo-Christianity today,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. And it will come to pass when they will say in their thoughts by reason of their much tribulation, quote, "The Mighty One doth no longer remember the earth. Yea, it will come to pass when they abandon hope that the time will then awake."
That's right. The rapture didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
They're sitting there waiting for the rapture. It's so hard. We thought we were going to get raptured. Our pastor said, we're just going to be caught straight up to our giant mansion in the sky. And it didn't happen. What's going on here?
Yes.
You know?
Right. Okay.
Then the time will awake.
Right. These chapters, many of them are very short, chapter 26. And I answered and said, "Will that tribulation which is to be continue a long time, and will that necessity embrace many years?" Let me provide at least a portion of the answer here, because we know that the prophecy that Isaac made to Esau, that the time will come when he has dominion over his brother Jacob, that occurred right around the time of the end of the Napoleonic Wars, when the Rothschilds began their global banking operations and financing wars and making war against the white race. Okay? And that's mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 20 as the little season between the taking up of the dominion by the Jews to the judgment day. Okay? So, which is, uh-huh. at this point, about 200 years. 202 years, to be exact. Okay? Because it was 1815 that happened. Okay? So he's asking, how long will it be? And I'll read the next chapter unless you have a comment there.
No, I want you to read that chapter and, you know, chapter 27.
Okay.
Still have to review my Roman numerals once
right,
in a while.
Right. Okay. And he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts. Here are the 12 parts. Into 12 parts is that time divided, and each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it. Now, this may be a longer tribute. It might be considering our whole existence here since the fall of Adam and Eve as tribulation, which I would agree with too, okay?
Well, yeah, as we're going to see in the vision encompasses the time of the fall of Adam,
uh-huh.
you know, the sin of the angels in the garden
uh-huh.
to the
okay.
end of the age. So that time period, basically this age,
yes.
is divided into 12 parts.
Okay.
And that's what his vision to us coming up, you know, that we'll get
yes.
into over the, you know, coming weeks and probably months. This age, in other words, this age from the time of the garden to the consummation of the age.
Right.
And this age is essentially ended with the return of Yahshua Christ and the beginning of the judgment.
Okay.
That's the sign that the age has come to an end.
Right.
And his vision covers that time period in exquisite detail and
okay.
in racial terms that cannot be missed. And he breaks it all down into the conflict essentially between the divine race, which is us, and the dark, what he calls the dark waters.
Right.
And obviously waters is
people.
Symbolic language for race.
That's right.
And we'll see that. It's unmistakable. I'm not just giving my Nazi interpretation here. Okay?
Right.
It is unmistakable that waters equal race. And
Amen.
The bright waters are the divine race of us, the Caucasian race. And the dark waters are the satanic seed line and, you know,
the races they rule over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're subverting of the other races.
Right. That's right.
So it is essentially an absolute confirmation of two seed line Christian identity.
Yeah. Very good.
That there
very
are
good.
Two seed lines on the earth and the other races are easily subverted.
Mm-hmm.
They probably were meant to be ruled by us with an iron rod, and they
right?
will be in the coming
and they
age.
They will be. That's
but
right.
in this age, they are easily subverted by the satanic seed line, and we have somewhat forgotten our position of dominion in this age. And so we are not really ruling them, although we actually ruled them quite well.
Yes.
Up through the 1800s.
Exactly.
But once Jewry began to establish themselves with the Federal Reserve System, and establish mind-blowing wealth, where they became millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, and likely octillionaires. And, you know, with that wealth, they had influence where they were able to subvert these other races, and where we're in a position like we are today, where blacks feel they can just kill or rape or maim a white person with little fear. You know, and whites are reviled on the earth. This is what power and money has given Jewry in the last century, you know, this generation. They didn't have this kind of power in the past.
Right.
You know,
right.
they always had the evil nature, but they didn't have the money to make it happen like they do now. This is their final last gasp of power.
Right. Okay, I'm going to put another link. I'm going to give it to you because I'm in the chat room on a different computer.
Okay.
And if you would share that archive, Apocalypse of Baruch 00, okay, and people can choose between the two, all right? Okay, so, okay, I'm going to read, let me start over with that verse. And he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts is that time divided. And if we're talking about the fall of Adam and Eve, roughly 6,000 years. So if we divide that into 12 parts, it's about 500 years each. And each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it. In the first part, there will be the beginning of commotions. And in the second part, there will be slayings of the great ones. And in the third part, there will be the fall of many by death. And in the fourth part, the sending of desolation. And in the fifth part, famine and the withholding of rain. And in the sixth part, earthquakes and terrors. Eight, something's missing. The manuscript was weak there. Yeah. So it's like the information, he doesn't know what eight is.
Yep. The manuscript was missing a part of the original language. He wasn't able to put it in.
Okay. Number nine, and in the eighth part, a multitude of portents and incursions of the Shedim. Okay, now we need to consult his notes. Shedim, what's Shedim?
Yeah, I have my notes from when we went through this before. This was essentially demonic activity, and the Shedim were the demons. So in the eighth part of the ages, this was the demonic activity and a multitude of just demonic activity on the earth. And the Shedim essentially were demons.
Okay, very good. Okay, and in the ninth part, the fall of fire. And in the tenth part, rapine and much oppression. And in the 11th part, wickedness and unchastity. See, we're right about there. And in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all those things aforesaid, including wickedness and unchastity. Verse 14, for these parts of that time are reserved and will be mixed one with another, excuse me, and will minister one to the other. For some will of themselves be of service, and they will receive from others, and from themselves and others they will be perfected, so that those may not understand who are upon the earth in those days of this consummation of the times. Let me just read one more verse here in chapter 28. Nevertheless, whosoever shall understand will then be wise.
That's right, brother.
Okay.
And that's
right.
Us.
Yes.
We are the ones in the final days. We are the ones in the final days that shall understand and will then be wise.
Yes.
And the elect will understand. And I have a cross reference that we went through, and I want to turn to it real quick.
Okay.
It's Daniel chapter 12, verse 10.
Okay.
If I can just read that real quick. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. I got it here. It says, many shall be purified and made white, praise Yahweh, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And we see the perfect, just the congruity of Scripture here.
Yes.
Where he says, nevertheless, whoever shall understand will then be wise. And obviously we're talking about the end of the age, the consummation of the times, as Baruch refers to it, where the elect in the final days, in this mass of confusion and bewilderment and insanity, and you can't even watch the news anymore because your head spins.
Right.
Yet Yahweh is speaking to his elect in these final days. We will understand what's going on, and we will be a very small group. We will feel very isolated, and yet we will understand what's going on. And Daniel says that perfectly, that the wise shall understand what's going on.
Yes.
That's what, to me, these books were written for. Not that we're so smart that we figure it out, but we find the revelation from Yahweh, our Creator, that was hidden from the world, that wasn't allowed, the Jews didn't, we didn't allow the Jews to destroy the translation and pervert it, as they have so many other books. And we have these pure books at the end of the age, to enlighten us, to show us who we are, why we're here, and what our eternal destiny is. And that's why I give thanks to Yahweh for this book and these other books that we've gone through. These books were purposely saved for his elect in the final days.
Yes. Yeah, and that's why we're reading. And of course, in Daniel, it prophesies that the book will be shut up until the end of the age. And only those of us in identity are still reading from it. The New Testament Christians certainly aren't, right?
Well, that's right. And who else?
Less.
I'm not giving us a huge pat on the back, but how many people on the earth are interested to go through this ancient book called The Apocalypse of Baruch? Who would have an interest in this but us?
Yes.
You know? And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I want to jump ahead to chapter 32.
Okay.
Yahweh says to Baruch, "But you, if you prepare your hearts so as to sow in them the fruits of the law, it will protect you in that time in which the Mighty One is to shake the whole creation. Because after a little time, the building of Zion will be shaken in order that it may be built again." I mean, Yahweh wants to bring this age to an end. And he wants to renew this earth. He wants to, I want to say, unleash our race on this earth.
Right.
You can feel our race.
Unfetter us, right.
You can feel our race wanting to break out. We're actually showing a little signs of life lately. Yes. I find it encouraging.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Trump is encouraging white people to act out.
Right? You know, brother, I've lost so much faith in politics. I have a hard time getting behind Trump, but right. I mean, I'm for the guy. I voted for him. First
it's
time I
watching.
Voted in years. I voted. I hadn't voted in years because I couldn't get myself to vote for any of these other guys, but I voted for him.
Right.
I actually had to re-register, but I voted. And I live in New York, so I knew Hillary was going to win my state.
Right.
And I still went out and voted. I wanted to do it, and I did.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Trump somehow fits in the plan. Where? Who knows?
Right.
But he seems the man for the moment, and I'm cool with it.
Yes.
You know? He's got too many Jews around him for me, but,
right.
You know, I don't know. I'm not in his position, so I can't tell him what to do.
Yes. Let me continue here. Verse 4, "And afterwards it must be renewed in glory, and it will be perfected forevermore," which is basically the same language of the book of Revelation. When the kingdom comes, it will last forever, and nothing's going to change it from that point on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
this
is perfectly in concord with the book of Revelation, book of Daniel, and other books, you know, that we have, you know, in the canon. Okay? The so-called canon. All right? And how about we jump over to chapter 36 as we approach chapter 50.
36, okay.
Yeah. "And when I had said these things, I fell asleep there, and I saw a vision in the night. And lo, a forest of trees planted on the plain, and lofty mountains surrounded it, and precipitous rocks. And that forest occupied much space. And lo, over against it rose a vine, and from under it there went forth a fountain peacefully. Now that fountain came to the forest and was stirred into great waves, and those waves submerged that forest. And suddenly they rooted out the multitude of the trees of that forest and withdrew all the mountains which were round about. And the height of the forest began to be made low, and the top of the mountains was made low. And that fountain prevailed greatly, so that it left nothing of that great forest save one cedar only."
Amen.
Okay. This is very similar to the cedar of Assyria, because that cedar referred to in the Bible as Assyria. "And when it had cast it down and had destroyed and rooted out the multitude of the trees of that forest, so that nothing was left of it, nor could its place be recognized, then that vine began to come with a fountain of peace and great tranquility, and it came to a place which was not far from the cedar. And they brought the cedar which had been cast down to it." Well, of course, the Assyrians were a white. They were a white country, okay, at that time. Okay?
That's right, yeah.
And so not far from there is, of course, Judea or Palestine. Okay? And I like chapter 38. "And I prayed and said, O Yahweh, my Lord, thou dost always enlighten those who are led by understanding. Thy law is life."
Brother, can we back up
and
just talk a little bit about the vision that you just were reading through, where the fountain came to the forest and was stirred into great waves, and they rooted out the multitude of the trees of that forest and overthrew all the mountains which were round about it. This type of symbolic language with our understanding of Scripture becomes quite clear to us. And, you know, the great fountain is obviously Yahshua Christ himself. And you can probably factor in our race into and being part of this great overthrow of this forest and these great waves. My interpretation of this is that the fountain itself is Yahshua Christ, okay, but the waves are our people. We are the waves that submerge the forest, and we root out the multitude of the trees of that forest. This is the type of racial language that Baruch, to me, is what makes Baruch a spectacular book. He doesn't come out and say the word race, but he describes it in such clear language that if you have understanding, it becomes very clear what he's saying. This is symbolic language that is easy to interpret. And what he's saying here is that Yahshua Christ, with the great waves, which is probably our people in conjunction with him, we will root out the multitude of the trees, mm-hmm, of the forest, and we will overthrow the mountains. And mountains, generally in Scripture, is a metaphoric, yes, language of governments and rulers and,
yes,
you know, authorities, which were round about it. And we will overthrow
United
that.
Nations? How about the United Nations?
Yeah. And he goes on to say that nothing was left of the great forest,
uh-huh,
save one cedar only. And when he goes on to describe what's going on. And when he had cast it down and had destroyed and rooted out the multitude of the trees of that forest so that nothing was left of it. And to me, this is super, yeah, clear language that all the,
yeah,
satanic seed
day
line, however far the satanic seed line has spread on the earth, and it's, you know, the Jews are an easy call. They're,
right,
all going to be gone. But we really, it's hard to put a number on how far their seed line has spread. And I do believe that anything that has satanic seed line in it,
yeah,
is going to be destroyed.
Right.
It will not survive the end of this age. The other races, some of them will survive, I believe. Some of them are not satanic. They're just subverted right now. They just are being led by the wrong leader. But he goes on, says, and when he had cast it down and destroyed and rooted out the multitude of the trees of the forest so that nothing was left of it, nor could its place be recognized, then that vine, this is Yahshua Christ,
mm-hmm,
began to come with the fountain in peace and great tranquility, and it came to a place which was not far from the cedar. The cedar is probably the satanic seed line itself.
Sure.
And they brought the cedar which had been cast down, and I beheld, and lo, the vine opened its mouth and spake and said to that cedar, art thou not that cedar which was left of the forest of wickedness? How racial is this language? And by whose means wickedness persisted, got to be the Jews,
right?
And was wrought all those years, and goodness never,
right?
Never were the, yeah, good Jew, were the Jews good.
Yeah,
ever.
I can't think of one good thing the Jews have ever done. Not one.
Nothing.
Yes.
He continues.
It's all evil. Yeah.
And thou did keep conquering that which was not thine. And to that which was thine, thou didst never show compassion. And thou didst keep extending thy power over those who were far from thee. And those who drew nigh thee, thou didst hold fast in the toils of thy wickedness. And thou didst uplift thyself always as one that could not be rooted out.
Insatiable, but, right.
Now he continues.
Totally insatiable.
This is the conversation that will happen between Yahshua Christ and the satanic seed line at the end of the age. This is the beauty of this book. This book lays out what's coming up. He continues, but now thy time has sped, and thy hour is come. Do thou also depart, O cedar, after the forest which departed before thee, and become dust with it, and let your ashes be mingled together. This is referenced in Obadiah.
Right.
And now recline in anguish and rest in torment till thy last time come in, which thou wilt come again and be tormented still more. And this would be the eternal judgment and being cast into the lake of fire. And this is the perfectly understandable racial language of Baruch. That's why I love this book. This is the most racial book of any scripture book I've ever read. Even more than Enoch and Ezra, this book breaks it down into the to the two seed lines. This book, the Apocalypse of Baruch, should be the foundational understanding of Christian identity. Brother, we're not Nazis. We're not white supremacists. We are Bible-believing, white covenant, born from above sons of Yahweh and daughters of Yahweh. And this book just makes it so clear that there are two evil seed lines on the earth, and the other races will be dominated by one of these two seed lines.
Yeah.
And in this age, the evil seed line, in this little prophecy referencing the cedar, the satanic seed line Jews have dominated the other races on the earth, have racially mixed with them. These are the ones that will be destroyed. These are the ones, the multitude of the trees that were uprooted and destroyed.
Right. Yes,
you know, the other races that have not been racially destroyed, you know, perverted, will probably survive.
Sure,
some of them anyway, but the satanic seed line that has spread, all of that will be wiped out. It has to be.
Yeah,
there cannot be any survivor of that.
Right. Let me just quote one verse from Obadiah 1:10, speaking to Esau. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Okay? So what we're reading here from the Apocalypse of Baruch is just more detail, a more detailed description of that verse, right?
That's it.
That's what's coming for him.
It's a perfect, the verses blend perfectly. You know, here where it's Yahshua Christ is saying, and now, you know, satanic seed line, recline in anguish and rest in torment till thy last time come in which thou wilt come again and be tormented still more. This is the final judgment where he says that you will become dust and your ashes will be mingled together. You know, and this is the destiny of the enemies of Yahweh.
Amen.
To become ashes under our feet. And, you know, And I'll just read this one verse in chapter 37. Chapter 37 is one verse. And after these things, I saw that cedar, which we say is the satanic seed line.
Right.
I saw that cedar burning and the vine growing itself and all around it, the plain full of unfading flowers. Who could that be?
Right. Yeah, it's us.
That's us. Right? Finally,
in the kingdom.
We are free to rule and reign on the earth, and we will be the unfading flowers on the earth. You see the beautiful, you know, these verses are not hard to interpret if you see what we see.
Right. Yes.
A few hundred years ago, they probably looked at this book and thought, what is this, you know?
Yes.
What's this talking about? But this book was reserved for us in the final days, and I find it so easy. It just unfolds to us.
Right.
It speaks to us. And, you know, we've kind of been laying a foundation, actually. We haven't even got into
the vision
of the bright and dark waters that we're probably going to spend, I would guess, several weeks on at least. It's hard to say because if we get into it in detail, which I believe that we should, it merits it. It will break down this generation for us, and it's just so incredible.
Well, Greg, we're just about at the end, so sorry to interrupt. I just want to, just really quickly from chapter 61, XL, that's 41, we haven't reached chapter 50 yet. And I answered and said, to whom will these things be, and how many will they be, or who will be worthy to live at that time to see the destruction of the serpent race? Who will be worthy to live at that time? Well, I guess we are. Right? I guess we are.
Yes.
Verse 3, for lo, I see many of thy people who have withdrawn from thy covenant and cast from them the yoke of thy law. Who could that be talking about? Who has rejected his law? of our people.
Yeah, the Judeo-Christians.
That's right.
No doubt.
No doubt. Okay.
It was nailed to the cross, right?
Yeah, you know? Right. And their brains were nailed to the cross. Oh, there's that stupor again, right? There's that
That's
stupor.
Right.
Okay. So we're almost at chapter 50, which is where you said that you want to get to. I think we'll continue here doing introduction, and then we'll get into the vision of the
actual initial revelation begins in chapter 53.
Okay.
53 All right. is the beginning of the revelation, and then the interpretation of it goes on for numerous chapters after that. It's just hard to skip through. There's so many amazing parts of Baruch.
Right.
Baruch is filled with spectacular truth for Christian identity believers.
Yes.
And this course, book was written for us.
Yes.
You know, and I didn't feel so much to go through the whole book again. I wanted to just jump straight into the nice, chewy, tough
right.
pot roast right in the middle, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Kind of skip the hors d'oeuvres. But,
right.
You know, I don't mind the nice buildup to the revelation that we're coming to. And I mean, the truth of this book is the foundation of what we believe in Christian identity.
Yes.
And I love this book, and I'm excited to go through it. And it's a privilege, brother, to do this show with you and
wow.
Get back into this.
I'm looking just real quickly, less than a minute, chapter 42, I think it is. Yeah, 42, verse 4. And as for those who were before subjects and afterwards withdrew and mingled themselves with the seed of mingled peoples.
Yeah.
That's not where we want to be, folks. All right, we'll pick it up from there next time, okay?
Amen, brother. Yeah,
right.
we'll continue our build up to the main
yes.
vision.
Okay, very good. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Praise Yahweh, saints. Good night.
Good night.